I'm so excited to be here tonight because I know this is what God has planned. Before I continue, I want to read a letter or a note from Karen and the women ministry team. Dear sisters, due to the current circumstances we are all facing with the coronavirus, this will be our last evening of our study in Proverbs. As soon as we get a green light to assemble again, we will plan an evening of fellowship. Lord willing, we will have a few summer Bible studies too. While we all stick close to home, please keep your sisters in prayer. Reach out via text, email, by phone, or better yet, FaceTime. We all still really need each other. Grace and peace with love, Karen and the Women Ministry team. Tonight I'm going to share from one of the most well-known verses in the book of Proverbs. Many of you know it by heart. It's found in chapter 3, verse 5. Please turn there in your Bibles. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Here it is in the Amplified Bible. Lean on, trust, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. To trust means to place confidence in, to lean on, to rely or depend on. It means to take shelter in, to hope in, to be secure in without a care. It means to rest. According to a Bible dictionary, our heart refers to the innermost center of our natural life. It understands and reflects. It is the center of feelings of joy and pain. It is the center of our moral life, from the highest to the lowest of morals. The heart can be darkened and hardened, or it can be the dwelling place of God, the closet of sweet communion with God. Our hearts are the very center of our real selves. Every person has a heart, even those who seem heartless. And we are all trusting or leaning on someone or something. We are either trusting in the Lord or we are trusting in our own understandings in a variety of ways and degrees. It is God's will for us to grow in trusting in Him, to rest our hearts, our innermost real selves, on Him in every circumstance of life. When God created humans, He didn't give us an understanding that is reliable on its own. He did not design us to be independent of Him. We were created to depend on our Creator. Perhaps you've heard the story about a painting contest promoted by a man who sought the perfect picture of peace. The artists were told to paint whatever they felt would portray peace. Some artists painted serene landscapes with sunsets or fields of beautiful flowers. Another painted a quiet lake with a reflection clear as glass. Another painted a sleeping child. Each painting was amazing and beautiful. But everyone was surprised when the winner was unveiled, for the painting was anything but peaceful. Dark clouds and lightning covered the sky. Waves crashed down on a jagged, rocky hillside with raging waters below. How could this be peaceful? But as they looked closer at the painting, they saw a tiny bird. She was tucked underneath the edge of a massive high rock, inside a crevice. There, she had found a safe place. It was just the right size for her to live and thrive in. In fact, she had settled in and built a nest in the rock, and there she stayed. This painting of peace is also a painting of trust. Perhaps the bird had tried before to fly in the storm, thinking she was strong enough to manage on her own. But she discovered the futility of it, as in actuality, her strength was not enough, and she was nearly caught in the waves below. Her own ability was not fully dependable. Even while in the shelter of the rock, she could feel the threat of the storm. Yet, resting in the rock was the only safe and sane place for her to be. That's where you and I belong. Jesus Christ is that rock. In Christ, we are protected and provided for. We are to settle down and rest in Him alone. He is the only safe and sane place for you and me. If there was only one thing I could say to you this evening, it would be to rest your heart and your mind on the Lord. He has invited us to dwell in His secret place, to abide under His shadow, to trust in Him completely, leaning on Him with our full weight, putting all our eggs in one basket, so to speak. He wants our rest in Him to be ongoing, a day by day, moment by moment rest. We are to commune with Him and pray to Him, laying every care at His feet. We are to meditate on His word and speak truth to our souls. We are to let Him hold over our being absolute sway, like the song says. There will never be a time in our lives when fully resting in the Lord isn't the best thing to do. Can you imagine being like that little bird nestled in the cleft of the rock, perhaps singing as she goes through her day the words of Psalms 18:1, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." Yet trusting God with all of our heart involves risk, not to what is truly best, but to lesser things that are important to us. As God's people, we know we are to depend on the Lord, yet we can often hold tightly to the controls of the things that are dear to us. These things can be our family, relationships, our health, our reputation, jobs, money, responsibilities, possessions, ministries, and longings. It is natural for us to care deeply about these things, and we should. We do not want to put those things at risk. Trusting in the Lord does not mean that we just sit on our hands and do nothing. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord and do good," Psalms 37:3. We are to do the next good thing. The Lord has a lot of good things for us to do while we trust in Him. But the Lord wants us to take everything we hold in our hearts and give them over to Him. And that takes faith and courage, because it means letting go. It means saying, "Not my will, but your will, Lord." It means obeying Him without knowing how things will turn out. We do not know how or when God will do something, and that can feel risky. But tell me, what is truly risky? Trusting in the risen Savior, the all-powerful, all-wise God who is love? or depending on our own limited understandings and the understandings of others, when we humans don't even know what the next minute will bring. Who sees the whole picture? Who values what is truly valuable and works to bless and protect what is truly valuable? We are much better off to trust in the Lord, the only one who is sovereign over all. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." No matter how qualified we are, every one of us needs the Lord to direct our paths, to direct our lives. Yet our human nature tries to take care of things all on our own. But how well does that work for us? I remember when I was in junior high, we arrived in class to find an unexpected test turned face down on our desks. The teacher told us that it was a timed test, I think for only a minute or two. Timed tests are usually stressful, and when the teacher started the timer and told us to begin, you could feel the tension. At the top of the paper, it said to read all the questions first before answering them. A quick glance down the page told me that it would be difficult to finish the test in the given time. So, wanting to save time, I began to write down my answers as I read each question. I could tell by the sound of pencils on paper that my classmates were doing the same thing. When I completed a few of the questions, I remember becoming aware that Sydney, the boy in the desk next to me, was not frantically writing like the rest of us were. I wondered what his problem was, but I quickly got back to the test. All too soon, the timer went off and we were told to put our pencils down. A united groan was heard in the room as we were unable to get all the questions answered in such a short amount of time. I glanced over at Sydney and was puzzled by the cool smile on his face. The teacher asked if anyone had finished the test, and Sydney was the only one who raised his hand. Then our teacher told us to look at the very bottom of the page. As she read the last instruction out loud to us, it said, "Now that you have followed the instructions by reading all of the questions before you answered them, sign your name at the bottom of the page. You are now finished with this test." We were never supposed to answer any of the questions. Everyone except Sydney had leaned on our own understanding and missed out on a stress-free test. Throughout our life, we will be given countless opportunities to trust in the Lord. I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Oh, the opportunities she had in trusting in the Lord through her lifetime. When the angel Gabriel came and greeted her, the New Living Translation puts it this way: confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." And as Gabriel told her that she would give birth to the Son of God, she asked, "How can this be? I am a virgin." We see that Mary experienced confusion, disturbance, and fear, and she wondered how God's word, spoken by the angel, could happen. But in her uncertainty, she chose to trust in God with all her heart instead of leaning on her own understanding. We know this is true because her words reveal a beautiful trust. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." That's a statement of trust, of sweet surrender. Mary rested her heart and mind on the Lord before she knew and understood everything. She didn't let the unknowns and the possible risks of what she had just heard keep her from trusting her Lord. And were there hardships that came into Mary's life while she was living out her trust in the Lord? More than we know. But we know that she had to travel with Joseph to Bethlehem while being 9 months pregnant. and they found no room available to them in the inn, so they had to use a stable for a delivery room. Just like us today, the Lord wanted Mary to learn to trust in him in the less than ideal circumstances, even the least of circumstances. When Jesus was 12 years old, her mother's heart was tested again when Jesus went missing for 3 days before Joseph and her found him in the temple. What is a mother to do when her child is missing? Where does the mind go? We can all imagine how terrifying that would be. What a huge test of faith in the Lord that must have been for her. Years later, at the wedding in Cana, when they ran out of wine, Mary took her concerns to Jesus, now a grown man. And we see her faith again when she told the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." I also think that Mary, who likely became a widow, lived in a household with unbelievers. The Bible says that the brothers of Jesus did not believe in him until after the resurrection. She must have had to trust God daily concerning her loneliness as a widow and concerning her children's unbelief. And then came the day when Mary stood at the foot of the cross on which her son Jesus was nailed, and she watched him die, though he had done nothing wrong. This was certainly the deepest pain she'd experienced. Her trust in the Lord must have been intensely tested that day. The Lord doesn't coddle or baby us when we trust in him. We don't get to have an easier life because we trust in the Lord. But he always has something wonderful and good waiting for us in the future. Mary's deep sorrow later turned to joy because God the Father did not let death have the final say. He proved his ultimate faithfulness when he raised Jesus from the dead. And then we see Mary on the day of Pentecost. She was among those in the upper room when the Holy Spirit was given. And guess who were there with her? Her sons, the brothers of Jesus. Now they too believed in him. There is so much good that comes from trusting in God rather than our own understanding. Just in the book of Proverbs alone, we find these verses, and I'm going to say she instead of he since we're women. She who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is she. That's chapter 16, 20. She who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but she who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. 28, 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. 29, 25. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. 35. The Bible is full of trust God verses. Here are some more. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Psalms 125:1. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the woman who trusts in him. Psalms 34:8. And one more. You will keep her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because she trusts in you. Isaiah 26:3. The Lord promises so many good things to everyone who trusts in him. He promises happiness, prosperity, protection, stability, blessings, peace, and so much more. But we need to remember something else that is also very important. Our God values our trust in him so much that he will test it and refine it many times. Don't be surprised when he allows suffering to refine our trust in Him in order to strengthen and purify it and make it more beautiful. Peter wrote, "There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold." 1 Peter 1:6-7. Last October was the beginning of the most painful trial of my life so far. It has been a time of refinement, a time to see who I'm really trusting in. I have been challenged more than ever before to trust in the Lord with all my heart, to lean fully on Him, to take shelter in Him, to rest my heart and mind on Him and on Him alone. At first, I could not grasp or believe what I was discovering, but as reality became clearer to me, I experienced deep emotional pain and sorrow. My body shook and ached. I couldn't hardly eat or drink. As I continued to discover more painful things over the weeks and months, I was often threatened by devastating fear or anger. I felt numb, yet relentless pain. I cried, I prayed, and I cried some more. Because this verse, Proverbs 3:5, was familiar to me and it had already been on my mind, I tried to live it out. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Bethany," I would tell myself, "and don't lean on your own understanding." But how? How was I to live out God's holy word in this new depth of pain? Many other beautiful verses were given to me as I read my Bible and received scriptures from my friends and family. And even though I saw the truth and the love of God in each one, I could not grasp them and take them in. Many times I didn't hear or sense God, and I couldn't tell that He was hearing me. It felt like I was in no man's land. As I faced more painful realities, my mind began to work overtime in trying to change the facts. I tried to force the situation to end by talking and reasoning and confronting. But every time, it felt like I was just trying to move an enormous rock, like the ones in Yosemite, that's what I pictured, maybe El Capitan. It just wasn't going to happen. It was completely, humanly impossible to change my reality. I desperately wanted to find relief from the pain. I knew that the world's method would let me down, but that doesn't mean that they didn't cross my mind. I wanted to scream about my pain to the whole world. I wanted to run to some faraway place. I didn't believe I could survive in my circumstances, and I desperately wanted out. I would go to the Lord each morning, and He would sweetly give me solid truths to stand on. But then I'd become overwhelmed by the pain again. My own thoughts and understandings took me to an unreliable and dangerous place. They were never going to bring me peace. The storm was fierce. The enemy tempted me to be open to anything if only it would stop the pain. But God didn't allow it. He was the patient father, holding on to His kicking and screaming child. I would flail back and forth from the edge of the crevice of the rock, often falling toward the waves below. But somehow, I was always rescued. There were invisible hands that would catch me and bring me back to the rock, back to Himself. I found that He would help me with getting rid of the fear and the anger, but the pain and the sorrow remained. Yet, even in the pain, the Lord wanted me to calm down. He wanted me to calm and quiet myself, like a weaned child that no longer cries for her mother's milk. He wanted me to humble myself and not concern myself with matters that were too great for me, but rather put my hope entirely in Him. Those stabling thoughts came from Psalms 131. A line from an old song says, "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul on Thee." That's something that we can do. We can rest our weary souls on the Lord. Have you ever been burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that you are despaired even of life? Our brother Paul was. And he went on to say, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Thankfully, Paul then gives the needed perspective. He said that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. 2 Corinthians 1:8 and 9. That is the goal, to trust in the only one who can raise the dead. There's no condemnation for God's children when we respond intensely to pain and sorrow. But our Heavenly Father has something far better for us than flailing. It's called resting. We can rest our broken hearts on the fact that the one who knows us best loves us best. He is with us. He is ultimately in control, and He has something good for each one of us in His mind. We can learn to let go of what we think is so important, things we think that we cannot live without, and rest our hearts and minds on God. That is enough. Jesus said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." We can rest by accepting what He has allowed, believing that He will lead us out in His good timing. Instead of trying to push an impossible rock of pain and sorrow from my life, the Lord is teaching me to rest in the Rock of Ages, where ultimately I will find rest and healing. I will find grace and healing. David prayed, "From the end of the earth I will cry out to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Psalm 61:2. There is another verse that I love, speaking about the disciple John, that says, "Now there was, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of His disciples whom Jesus loved." John 13:23. "Now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of His disciples whom Jesus loved." The one loved by Jesus was leaning on Him. That's where I want to be. That's where I want you to be. May it be said of each one of us, "Now there is one simply loved by the Lord and fully leaning on Him." There is a lot of trouble in this world today as we deal with this current situation with the virus. There's so much fear and uncertainty. But as God's people, we have a safe place to rest in. The Bible says, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." Psalms 27:5. In times of trouble, God promises to hide His people. He says He will set us high upon a rock. Can you picture the Lord lifting you up and purposely setting you in that safe crevice, saying to you, as He said to Moses, "Here is a place by me." This secret place is found only in our personal relationship with the Lord. And it is from high up on the rock that He gives us amazing view. It's an eternal view with eternal perspectives. Our spiritual eyes are enlightened, and He expands our vision when we rely on Him. We experience meaningful things with him that we would otherwise miss out on. We see that we don't need to worry or fear at all because we see who our God really is. Like when a mountain climber reaches a summit and is awestruck by the view from the heights. So we come to realize God's greatness and his goodness in greater measures as we trust in him. It humbles us. We experience his faithfulness and we love him more, trusting in the Lord with all our hearts and loving the Lord our God with all our hearts go hand in hand. One thing I'm seeing from high up on the rock during my current trial is that the Lord alone is my provider. Everything we have is literally from him alone, even when he uses people in his providing process. One example from my life is that he knows how much I need encouragement, and he is provided by sending me texts through my friends and family with verses, songs, prayers, and kind words. These have nourished my soul over and over again. Another example of his provision for me, and this one is quite unusual and very amazing, he provided me with a trip free of charge on the Footsteps of Paul tour. Even though it's been postponed, I am almost speechless over God's generous grace. Such undeserved generosity, and right in the middle of my trial. One more example of his provision to me happened when I was having an especially painful evening over a month ago. As I was working in my kitchen, I glanced out the window and noticed a full moon. Immediately, I grabbed my coat and went outside. The sky was especially stunning that night. As I stood for a period of time looking up at the full moon and the stars, I smiled and I said, "Thank you, God." Then in my heart, right away, I sensed him saying that he had brought me out here to look at his sky because he knew I would love it and because he wanted to see me smile again. In spite of my emotional pain, he was giving me an emotional intimacy that I needed that night. Every breath we breathe is provided by the Lord. Did you just take a breath? That breath was provided by the Lord himself. Our breathing is an ongoing reminder of why we can trust in him. See how well and consistent he provides for us. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We have the Lord who is faithful at every breath. A friend of mine says it well, compared to the Lord, everyone and everything else is so secondary. He is not just a little better than everyone and everything else. He is infinitely superior to all of us and everything else. The world doesn't see that. They can't. But the Holy Spirit reveals things to those who love him. He helps us to see things that grow our faith. He helps us to see that this earthly life is not it, that there is a much bigger picture with everlasting riches and deeper meanings. We still see through a glass dimly for now, but the Lord gives satisfying eternal glimpses that help us stay the course. We are a bride waiting for our perfect groom to come and take us home to our real home, where we will be forever with the lover of our souls. These are some of the eternal views that we can see as we rest on the rock, Christ Jesus. What are the things in your heart today? Can you identify them? What has been on your mind over the past 24 hours? Will you trust in the Lord with all that's in your heart and all that's on your mind? We can choose to rest our hearts and minds on him. We can say, thy will, Lord. We can humble ourselves and accept and endure the trials God allows. We can hold on to eternal perspectives through reading his word and speaking it to ourselves. And we can trust in him and encourage others to trust in him along with us. All of this brings honor to his name. The better we know the Lord, the more we will trust him. Paul wrote, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." Trusting in God in times of suffering will help us to know our God better. I like this quote. "You don't know God is all you need until he is all you have." And one more quote. "Suffering strips away the familiar that promotes false security and turns us to the God of compassion, who uses hardship to give us shoulders big enough to bear the weight of glory." We can trust God in our trials because they are working for us, not against us. I find that it is helpful to simply take the time to be silent and still before him, to be still and know that he is God, to find a solitary place and simply sit silently, giving God my attention without an agenda for a period of time. We can let the world fly by and give God our attention and wait in his presence. David wrote, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock." Psalms 62, 5 and 6. We can grow in resting just by sitting in his presence. It can reduce us to simply being one loved by God, leaning on his bosom. One of my favorite ways the Lord teaches us things is through nature. He has used the trees in particular to teach me lessons. One thing about a tree is that it stays put wherever it is planted. It never uproots itself and runs away and plants itself somewhere else. Wherever it is growing, there it stays, through storm and drought. It has to depend on its creator to provide the nutrients, water, and sunshine that it needs. If its creator does not provide these things for a period of time, the tree has no other option but to stay put and wait silently until a provision comes again. It doesn't have the ability to get what it needs for itself. A tree will keep upright, reaching for the sky, and continue to provide shade and homes for the birds while it waits on its creator to provide. And while it waits, its roots grow deeper into the soil, searching for underground waters to drink. To me, a tree is a message of the importance of trusting in the Lord and not trying to lean on our own understanding. Let me read to you Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8 in the New Living Translation, and listen to the two options in life. Jeremiah 17, 5. This is what the Lord says. "Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness, in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves are green, and they never stop producing fruit. You and I will either put our trust in mere humans, relying on human strength, or we will trust in the Lord and make him our hope and confidence. We are told that the human heart is deceitfully wicked, so we all start in the same condition. The one thing that makes all the difference in life is where we put our trust. In closing, I ask us, what do we want to be? A stunted shrub or a tumbleweed, as someone has called it? A tumbleweed breaks from its roots and is blown aimlessly here and there. It doesn't have a purpose. It doesn't bear fruit. It gets caught in fences. It's ugly, and it pokes and scratches whoever it runs into. Or do we want to be a tree, like a tree, planted by the river, staying green, growing stable, anchored through the storms, upright and useful, with real purpose and meaning, bearing fruit and bringing glory to God? Let's be trees. If we find ourselves being a tumbleweed at any moment, just return to the Lord and put your trust back into him. Let's take shelter and rest in the Rock of Ages through the storms of life. Let's rely on the one who was faithful to the peasant girl named Mary, perfecting the things that concerned her. He will do the same for us. How great is our God. Let's pray. O God, our source of hope, our source of peace, our source of rest. We want to put our trust in you over and over again throughout our lifetime, because you are the only safe place to be, to put our trust in. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful to us and that you are the only one that we can trust. I pray, Father, that you will continue to draw us to yourself, that we will be one loved by you, leaning on you. Thank you that you are completely faithful to all of us, your children, and we rejoice in you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you.